When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3 for $10 on select Kellogg's Giant Size cereal with your card. Then get tender USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast for $4.99 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome back to the Already Friends podcast. This is Allison and it is just me for a solo episode today because our queen Kara is soaking up being a newlywed. Her wedding was on Sunday, 2 days ago, and it was the most magical, beautiful wedding I've literally ever seen. I don't want to steal her thunder or share too many details because I want her to be able to tell you guys next week for herself. But go to Instagram. She's been posting lots of content. Same on TikTok. Look at McKenna, her sister's page. Everyone's been posting all the photos and oh my gosh, it was just such a good weekend. I was very honored to have been a part of it. And yeah, congratulations to Kara and Connor. They are such a great couple and a good role model for so many people. We're just so happy for you guys. Today's episode is going to be a WWYBD. If you are new here, that stands for What Would Your Bestie Do? It is our fun little name for our Q&A segment. If you go to artyfriendspodcast.com, there's a WWYBD tab, and then you can send in an anonymous question. We like to keep them anonymous because then encourages you guys to share all of the juicy details and give us the real scoop, because sometimes you can't ask or tell the people in your life these scenarios because maybe it involves them or you just don't want them to really know the full thing. So this is our fun way of letting you guys like share the secrets or the crazy things going on in your lives. And then we can all relate or be entertained by these circumstances. The questions that I pulled for today are all kind of surrounding relationship dynamics, I would say, like exes, heartbreak, boundaries. So I'm really excited to get into them. And I feel like this is perfect timing because I've been reading the book, The Ethical Slut. I touched on it last week, but we will get to all of that in a little bit. First, I'm going to catch you guys up on my last week, share peaks, and then we'll get into the Q&A. So like I said, today's Wednesday. A week ago, I flew from Omaha to Long Beach because Clay had a CrossFit competition that was Friday and Saturday. And this was going to be my first time flying with Peaches. Also living above the bar that has been so loud, I was looking for any opportunity to get out of here. And I thought, you know what, I'll just go 2 days early. I'll make sure that Peaches and I don't have any like flight troubles, that we can get the rental car, the Airbnb, figure out where the arena is, just like all that stuff. And then once I get there, I can work remotely for 2 days, go to the beach, eat an acai bowl, and just like soak up the sun. Except it was actually not that warm. It was warmer in Nebraska. It was the worst I'd packed for a trip in so long. I brought like one sweatshirt and wore it for like 4 days. I don't know why. I just like in my head didn't even check the weather because I was like, oh, I'm going from Nebraska to California. It should be hotter. No, it wasn't. But anyway, it was still a lovely time. So I get to Long Beach on Wednesday at like noon, and I did not plan ahead in booking a rental car. I just walked up and was hoping for the best. And the only two options for rental cars that they had left were a red Mustang or a minivan. Well, at first she said the only thing was the red Mustang. And I was like, that's it? I was like, that feels really obnoxious. Like, I don't know if I want to be whipping around in a red Mustang. And she was like, I mean, we have the minivan. And I was like, okay, definitely don't want that either. I was like, I'll take the red Mustang. And it was actually a crazy coincidence because the week before I went thrifting, I hadn't been thrifting in so long, and I got this trucker hat that was for the like Mustang car show, and it had this like vintage red Mustang on it. And when I was packing, I was like, should I bring this hat? And I was like, yeah, I feel like it's totally like a cool beach vibe. And then I got there and I was like, this is so crazy. Like the hat that I was literally wearing today has a red Mustang on it. Now there's only a red Mustang left. So I'm like, all right, let's just like stick to the, it's all for the plot. Let's do it. And then I get out to the rental car lot and it's a convertible, which makes it so much funnier because it was a whole moment. I decided we're leaning into it and Peaches loved it. So right when we got there, I actually feel so bad. I had originally planned to get lunch with a friend in LA that afternoon. And then once I got the rental car and like after the travel, I was like, I just need to go put my toes in the ocean and get an acai bowl and get to the Airbnb. Like I'm tired. My system needs some evening out. I always feel so bad canceling plans, but thankfully this person was so understanding. And I know that they're crazy busy with their life right now too. So, you know, sometimes you just got to honor your own needs. And I'm glad I did because I did end up staying at the Green Room Hotel, which is down in Oceanside. And so we drove the Pacific Coast Highway route. And that had been on my bucket list for so long, tying into last week's episode, how we were talking about our favorite summer travels and how this was a trip that I had been wanting to do. I'm so glad I got to do it. It was just a whole like quintessential summer drive. I so envy the people that live in like Oceanside, Encinitas and get to go to the beach every day and live in this like adorable town. It just feels like a little fairy tale world. I was loving it. And having the convertible made it so fun to drive around along the coast, like through these cute neighborhoods because I could get a better view and see everything. And it was wonderful. Also highly recommend the Green Room Hotel if you guys do go down in that area. It was absolutely adorable. They had free parking. The rooms were meticulously decorated with good details. It did not feel like this modern churn and burn, just slap some walls and paint up. It was very well curated and done. I had such a pleasant stay there. And what else did I do? I went to a few vintage shops, some coffee shops, and then more of the same on Thursday. And then Friday morning, I drove from Oceanside back up to Long Beach for Clay's competition. And I was being such a cheap ass. To park in the parking lot was $25. So I was like, I'm just going to park in the neighborhood nearby. And I like totally underestimated how far it was. It took me like 45 minutes to walk from where I parked to actually get into the arena. And like halfway through the walk, I was like, we have to jog. I'd already committed because it would have taken too long to then go back to the car, repark in the lot. So I'm like, Peaches and I are like sprinting inside. It was not worth saving the $25 because then I was so stressed. I was like, oh my God, I literally got here early to be prepared and I was prepared. And now I'm going to miss this first event because I was being a cheap ass and didn't want to pay for parking. Like, no, should not have done that. But we did make it. I literally like sat in my seat at 11:02 and it kicked off at 11:05. So, you know, you guys know when you're like running and you're stressed to get somewhere, it's like you're like sweating and then you're like, how fast do I need to jog? It was a scene. But thankfully, they let Peaches in. So Peaches watched the competition with me and it was great. Clay absolutely killed it. This was CrossFit semifinals. I'm probably going to butcher this, but the way CrossFit works is there's the open. And then if you make it past that, you go to, I think it's regionals and then quarterfinals and then semifinals. And then after semifinals is the games. So him and his team made it really far, especially considering they've only been doing it for like 2 years. It's crazy that they are already competing at this level. Could not be me. Watching all of these athletes, I'm like, you guys are so impressive. Like, how are you doing all of these crazy feats of movement? I don't get it. Because CrossFit, you're like doing gymnastics and cardio and strength training and like partner stuff and you never know. No competition is the same. No workout is the same really ever. We're always switching it up. So the athletes just have to be very multi-talented. I'm just so glad that I got to watch him compete. It felt good to be able to be there and support him, especially after how much sacrifice and love and energy and time and resources he's like poured into his CrossFit career over the past few years. It's really cool to see it paying off and him like getting sponsorships, and like they did this fundraiser for the event and his gym fully chipped in and they made good money off of being able to go and compete. So I'm just really proud of him. It's cool to see people you care about putting a lot into either their small business or coaching or a sport or a hobby, and then it paying off. It's just, I'm so proud of him. And then on Saturday, so after the competition on Saturday, we went and got In-N-Out. And guys, I had a fucking cheeseburger. I haven't had a cheeseburger maybe since like 2017. I don't even know. I'm at a loss for words because I don't know what came over me. The guys wanted like a greasy, quick, and dirty like meal, you know, after they're competing. They're like, we deserve a good cheat meal. And I wasn't gonna be like, oh no, let's go to like a place I want to go to and get a salad or something like that after they've been eating clean for months in order to prepare for this. Like, they wanted the greasy cheeseburger. So I'm like, all right, In-N-Out is a whole moment. Like, we're in California, let's do it. So we're in line and I was like, gonna just get fries. It's like, you know what? Just get the burger. If you like take a few bites and you don't want it, it's like $3. It's fine. And we like sat down and Clay was like, wait, did you get a cheeseburger? And then even his partner Cooper was like, wait, are you okay? Like the, we can get you something else. And I'm like, no, let's not overthink it. I'm just going to do it. And yeah, honestly, it was pretty good. I think the key was that the patty was so thin that like between the bread and the lettuce and the onions and the sauce, like I really didn't even taste the meat that much. And it was for the moment. And I don't regret it. It was fine. And yeah, maybe I'll do it again someday. Maybe not. We'll see. It was just fun at the time. And then afterwards, not even gonna lie, took some edibles. I was getting FOMO because my flight left LAX at 11:30. So we go back to the Airbnb after In-N-Out. And we're just like having fun, sitting by the bonfire. And I was like, no, I don't want to leave, but I do want to go to Kara's wedding tomorrow. Like, I want to be in two places at once. I cannot believe I got from the Long Beach Airbnb to LAX in an Uber through security. I even got dropped off at the wrong terminal. My fault, not the Uber driver's. I had to walk to the other terminal. I had to check a bag, so I had to wait in line, get through security, get to my gate. I did all of that in 45 minutes. Like, I didn't even know that was possible. I left the Airbnb at 9:25. That's when the Uber driver picked me up. And I fully texted Clay that I was through security at 10:10. That's 45 minutes, right? Like, that is so fast. I feel like that has to be record timing. Someone give me an award. I cannot believe I got there so fast. I thought I was really, oh my God, you hear all the stories about LAX. Like, I need to get there really early. No, made it in plenty of time. So then I flew through the night, landed in Charleston at like 10:30 in the morning, got a rental car there, went to the Airbnb to meet Lane and Hannah, two of Kara's good friends. I had met Hannah before, but I had not met Lane. And there was just so many of Kara's other good friends at the wedding that I've been social media friends with for years, like through her. And it was so cool to meet everyone because we're all like, I feel like I know you, but like somehow we've never met, but we've all been following each other. And this is really fun. And yeah, the wedding was just fabulous. We got there at 4:30, started at 5 Sunday evening. And so like it, as the sun was setting, like the weather was perfect. Oh, it was just so good. But again, I'll let Kara share all of that next week. And then Monday morning, I flew home. That was a shit show. My flight from Charleston to Chicago, apparently there was a plane engine that caught fire in Chicago, so we couldn't land. So we were like circling and then had to divert for more fuel. And then by the time I got to Chicago, obviously my connecting flight back to Omaha was long gone. Then they put me on another flight. It got delayed because there was a storm. Then there was a maintenance issue with the plane. So I didn't end up leaving Chicago until midnight. Got home at 2 a.m. I'm like, I should have just taken the late flight. Then I could have gone to Kara's, like on Monday, they had like a luncheon after. And I was feeling like so bad that I was missing it because I had booked an earlier flight. And I'm like, I didn't even need to book the earlier flight. I got home at fucking 2 a.m. anyway. But what do you do? All things considered, all of the logistics of the entire last week of travels and rental cars and Airbnbs and bringing peaches and everything, like it really went so smoothly. I'm glad if there was like one flight to have been delayed, it was the one on the way home because that was the only one that could have been delayed. Otherwise, everything else would have been like absolutely screwed up. So all's good. And now I'm just like back in the unpack, do laundry, work, and we'll see what the next week entails. Could be anything. I'll keep you guys posted when that time comes. And then peak of the week, gosh, how do I even say? It was also good getting to see Clay compete and getting to see Hera get married and getting to bring Peaches on a flight for her first time ever and it going so smoothly. I'm just going to say all three because I've been looking forward to all three of those things for months. It was just a great week. And then reading some of your guys' peaks of the week, Kenzie said, traveling to Barcelona to plan my 2025 destination wedding. Oh my goodness, that is so exciting. I hope all of that goes great. Oh, and I love this one from Alanita. She said, got my hair done yesterday, then took myself out for a cute solo date after. I love both of those things so much. When you go and get your hair done, when it's like fully just for you, not for an event, it's like, I'm something special. It just feels so good. And then love the confidence of going out to eat by yourself. That's awesome. As always, send in your guys' peaks of the week on our Instagram story box every Monday. The Instagram is Already Friends Podcast. And before we get too into the nitty gritty of all of these relationship questions and the side stories that I'm going to share, I do want to say that even in the last maybe year or 2 years since we started doing the 8 Dimensions of Wellness series, I have learned so much from that and applied that even to my relationships. When I think about myself, I'm like, wow, there's some days where I'm really emotionally well, or I'm really big on my fitness journey, or I'm feeling sexually healthy, or my career is killing it. And then there's other times where I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life, or I fall out of a fitness routine, or I stop doing my spiritual practices. And I'm sure many of us can relate that it's like that harmony between all of the different dimensions is like an ongoing journey that you, as life comes at you, you got to like rebalance all of those different dimensions all of the time. And so for me, when I think about a relationship with another person, to expect one other person to somehow, quote, check all of those boxes, like they're never going to be perfect. Like even for ourselves, like I'm never as good as I want to be in all of the areas. I can love and accept myself for where I am, but still want to be better. And there's things in one partner that they might make a ton of money and you might have amazing sexual chemistry, but they don't live near you and they maybe are not emotionally supportive of you. You might find another partner who is like your best friend and you guys can laugh together and you connect over all of these hobbies, but maybe your like sex life is just not quite there together. Or a different party who you like have this deep spiritual connection, maybe you have the same religious beliefs and you like the flirty vibes are totally there, but maybe they don't make as much money as you would want or don't have the same views on children. Like there's no one out there in my mind who is going to check every single box ever that you possibly want. Even our relationships with ourselves take a lot of compromise and going back and forth to figure out who we really are and what we really want. So I think we've been oversold this false idea in social media and Hollywood that there's this like absolutely perfect person out there. And to me, I think it just comes down to communication and loving the other person for where they are and not feeling like you have to change them. You can encourage and motivate them, but that doesn't mean you can change them into this exact person that you want them to be. And that is just a big lesson that I've been learning over the last year is like, just because I want someone to do something, like I want Clay to come travel with me all the time because I love to travel. And he's like, I want to be at the gym 6 days a week coaching these people. This is what makes me happy, having this positive impact on all of the people in his classes' lives. He wants to train. He likes that routine. So how can I force this expectation of him traveling with me all the time? I can't do that. That's not what he wants to do, but we meet in the middle. Sometimes he comes on trips with me. And then on the flip side, sometimes I stay here and we'll do workouts together and have a normal routine, but like that's not my 80%. That's my 20% and vice versa for him. And I had this other realization, I'm calling it the 90-10 phenomenon, where if you look back at all of the people that you dated, think of the 10% reason that you guys broke up. They didn't make enough money. They didn't want to have kids. They weren't physically attractive enough. We didn't have the same lifestyle, yada, yada. Then go to your next person. You look for that lack of 10% in the next person. Well, then once you date them long enough, you realize they're missing some 10%. Of course, because every person is never going to check every box, in my opinion. So then if you break up, then you ensure that that next person has what the former person's 10% lacked. And it's just this never-ending cycle, because no one can give you absolutely everything. We all have ourselves to focus on and like our families and our jobs. And yeah, like there's just a lot going on for everyone. And we can't be there at beck and call for every single dimension of the other person. You would totally lose yourself if you gave up your values and your interests and your goals just to be exactly what the other person wanted you to be. And with that, of the eight dimensions, it had me realizing that with one person, you might have the deepest spiritual connection you've ever had. And then with the next person, you might have the best sex you've ever had. And with this other person, you might love spending money on each other. And with this other person, maybe you bond over a hobby or a sport. And so for me, I just started realizing maybe multiple people can fulfill these different boxes. Like in some ways, think about, you know, with Tinder and Hinge, to some people, sex is very casual. They can go and have sex with someone and not want to ever see them again. But for someone else, sex might be very sacred and they might be waiting until marriage. You might have someone else who thinks that emotionally cheating is the worst thing possible. And you might have another person who doesn't mind if their partner goes and does this hobby with another person that they like are interested in. So every person's value system on what is important to them in a relationship and where they set that boundary with their partner is going to be so different. In my mind, I can see sex being very casual and fun in the moment, but a deep emotional spiritual bond to me can honestly seem deeper than sex. But there's sometimes where you can have sex that's like making love and is so intimate and so pure and so full of like compassion and respect for the other person. Or you can have like quick and dirty sex. Like there's so many nuances to all of this. So I just wanted to kind of touch base on those things as I give advice on the next questions and share some side stories from my life over the last couple of years to clarify that there are nuances and layers and every single person is different. And I think it just comes down to figuring out what you want and what the other person wants and figuring out what that looks like for both of you. As I mentioned at the beginning, I've been reading The Ethical Slut. I highly recommend it. Faith, who we had on a few weeks ago, she's actually the one that told me to read this book. And wow, is it eye-opening. I think everyone should read it. It doesn't matter if you are gay, straight, monogamous, open. Like there is something for everyone to learn in this book. I'm going to read it again because already I'm like, this was so powerful and just things I hadn't thought about. And it really hones in how important communication and setting boundaries and asking your partner their boundaries, expectations, unmet expectations. Like truly, so many times I think fallouts happen is just like a lack of communication or a lack of awareness of boundaries and expectations. And that can really, I guess it just goes back to communication, because if you had communicated them, then the other person would know them. And so the questions I picked today all kind of fall under this bucket because I've been wanting to talk about it. And I gave a little sprinkle last week of saying that Clay and I are just kind of in this like flux era, I guess, where we're like both focused on ourselves, but like we still have each other, but like we're not keeping tabs on the other person. It's just like, I trust you. We know our boundaries. We've communicated them and we're not jealous or possessive people at this point. I used to be, but I really think jealousy just stems from insecurities. And then once you kind of, I don't know, get more comfortable with yourself, a lot of the need to possess another person or have your identity wrapped up in them, It's not as intense, I guess. But okay, first question. Hi, I've had a whirlwind of negative dating experiences for the last year. A pattern of repeatedly finding someone I like, trying for it, and then they become distant and ending things. I'm so tired. I'm a lover girl, and it's been exhausting and heartbreaking giving so much of my energy to people that I thought deserved it. But in the end, it was the same pattern. So I'm taking a dating break, cleanse for the summer. It feels good, and I do think this is what I need. I'm focusing a lot more on myself during this time. But my question is, how can I use this time to figure out where these patterns come from and how to fix them? Okay, I'm going to make this about me for a second. So when Clay and I were on this break, I started thinking about like what my type is, because most of the time when I find someone really attractive, like in real life or on Instagram, or like I look at quite a few of my exes, I'm like, there's a font and they're just slight variations of the same font. I was like, where does this come from? And so I was thinking back to my childhood And my mom's sister, yes, her son lived with us when I was a kid. He was 7 years older than me. And I just thought he was the coolest older cousin, like tattoos, kind of a bad boy. And then he went into the army. So he was like that like big, muscular, protective type. But to me, like he was such a teddy bear. So I think I grew up seeing that as like a role model of what an older guy would be like, or when I got to his age, like that is like the type of person I would date, kind of in the same way that like girls marry their dads. It sounds kind of creepy when I'm saying it, like, oh, I had a crush on my cousin. It wasn't like that. It was just like role modeled to me because he was like so loving, but like also protective. And so then when I look at my quote type, I'm like, tall, muscular, kind of a bad boy, but actually a gentleman. Maybe likes to dabble with, you know, drugs and alcohol a little bit, but like has it under control. I don't know. That just tends to be who I've gone for. And so I share this story because you said, what could you do in this time to figure out how to fix these patterns? I think you got to go back to your childhood and figure out either like where your insecurities are coming from, figure out your attachment style. Like, are you avoidant? Are you anxious? Or do you have a secure attachment style? Where is that coming from? Look at your dynamics with your mom, your dad, your siblings, and see how that plays into your expectations. I have a good guy friend, and I was telling him because he's having trouble finding a girlfriend. And I was like, dude, it's because you're way too close with your mom in the sense that like no girl is ever going to compare to your mom. And he's like, yeah, they can't. My mom's the best ever. And I was like, well, yes, I love that. I think that you should look up to your mother, and it's great that you see her a few days a week, but you're making no space for another woman in your life because you're constantly comparing these girls that you're going on dates with to your mom. And they're never going to be your mom because your mom is your mom, and you look up to her so much. And if you constantly compare all of these other people to your mom, then you're just going to keep getting let down. Like, you have to let your mom be her, and you have to let these other women be them. And when they don't measure up to what your mom does, like they don't know they're even being measured up against her. So to them, they're like, wait, why is it not working? So it's interesting how these other relationships that we have in our lives can play so much into our dating life. And I also think we're going to keep being served the same situation over and over again until we learn the lesson. I won't share a bunch of stories, but yes, I have felt that to be very true in my life because I don't know, it's like God, universe, human nature, whatever. It's like we're wired to do these things. And until we learn it or figure it out, it just keeps getting presented to us in like a different colored box and we keep getting fooled by it. And until we open it and look inside and look in the mirror and see what is actually going on, it's probably just going to keep repeating the same pattern over and over again. But I do love that you're using this time to focus more on yourself because I think that's the only way to really know what you actually want and where maybe some of these things are coming from. So things like yoga, journaling, therapy, meditation, breath work, talking it out with loved ones. I think asking other people, like, what do you think about like my dating life? Like, because I have some friends that I'm like, oh, I kind of wish I could just say this specific thing to them because I see them like, I don't know, struggling or doing the same thing over and over again. And I'm like, can you not see it from your point of view? And I don't want to butt in and give unsolicited advice, but like, it's clear to the rest of us. So I think if you have someone in your life who's willing to be honest with you, ask them what maybe your role in it is, because it's so easy for us to like shift the blame to someone else. A lot of times we also need to recognize our part in the dynamic, but good luck. And I hope that your dating break goes well and you get the clarity you need. As a retail shop owner, I know how important it is to have a good, reliable POS system. That's why I'm so excited about our sponsor today, Shopify. Shopify has already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source. Track everything across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers both in-line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/alreadyfriends. That is all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/alreadyfriends to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/alreadyfriends. Thank you again to Shopify for sponsoring the Already Friends podcast.
I am very excited to tell you guys about one of our sponsors today, which is Gaia Provides. Gaia Provides has been an OG sponsor of the podcast, and I'll tell you why. It's because we love their products and we want to keep working with them. Gaia Provides is a holistic, small batch company making quality, lab-tested, hemp-based health and wellness products for your pets. So they make CBD treats, CBD tinctures, topical products specifically designed for pets. So that's cats, dogs, and equine. Both Allison and I have some pets that struggle with anxiety. Peaches has a little bit of anxiety. Margo has a little bit of anxiety. Our family dog, Dudley, he gets so anxious, especially storms, and Gaia Provides products have helped him, Margo, and Peaches so much. So we give Dudley the CBD tincture every single time there's a storm, and it really calms him down. I don't know why, but he freaks out with thunder, fireworks, and the Gaia Provides CBD oil has been a lifesaver for Dudley. Margo absolutely loves the chewables. She goes nuts for them, and I'll give them to her when we leave the house for a little bit longer than usual because she has a lot of separation anxiety. She's a COVID March 2020 puppy, so I get it. Gaia Provides is small batch and lab tested for quality, and they're a great company. They care about the community. Part of every single purchase is donated to one of their three partner rescue organizations, and they sponsor products for some of the rescue dogs that could benefit from CBD as well. So they just genuinely care and are really good people running this company. They are offering 20% off to customers with the code ALREADYFRIENDS. So if your pet, cat, dog, horse needs any CBD products, please check out Gaia Provides and don't forget to use code ALREADYFRIENDS for that 20% off. And thank you to Gaia Provides for sponsoring the show.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 2 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
And question number two. My boyfriend and I have been together for 5 years this July. He's my best friend, the sweetest man I've ever known, and treats me so well. At least that's what I thought. We recently went on a trip to Charleston, South Carolina to see if we could picture ourselves potentially moving there from San Diego with a close married couple of friends of ours. I decided to check his phone while he was asleep, never a good idea. I found deleted texts with a girl that indicated that they kissed a couple of months back. He drives for Uber after work most days of the week to make some extra spending money for upcoming trips and weekend activities. Using context clues from the text, I'm led to believe she is a passenger they picked up one night. After finding the text, I panicked and woke him up immediately to confront him. He repeatedly denied it until he eventually caved and said that nothing happened beyond that. However, there were further messages of him asking to see her again. We've lived together for almost 3 years, and our lives and friend groups are so intertwined at this point, and it makes me so sad that my life will look completely different without him in it. I thought that he would be a man I would be with forever. We've been so connected since the beginning, and I was almost 100% certain that we would get married someday. I'm honestly so sick to my stomach, but undeniably still have so much love for him. I always told myself that if someone cheated on me, I would be gone. Is the idea of working through this and staying with him something that I should entertain? I haven't told anyone yet as I feel so embarrassed. Although I'm beyond hurt, I have this inclination to protect him against any possible judgment from my friends and family. I feel like this has flipped my life completely upside down and I'm not sure what to do next. So first of all, I just want to give you a hug and say that like I'm sorry and I know how it feels when we think that someone we love betrayed us, but I want to give you some comfort and that I don't think people always do things with the intent to hurt someone or betray them. And this is where reading The Ethical Slut has been really helpful. And even the break that Clay and I have been on and him and I not living together the last year, like, I don't think that your boyfriend maliciously kissed that girl to hurt you. You said, okay, he's the sweetest man ever. He's so good to you. Da, da, da. If you feel like that is his character 99.9% of the time, and then this girl kissed him in the Uber, I don't think, or even if he kissed her, is he doing that to hurt you? Or is he just doing that out of his attraction to someone else? And obviously, I'm sure he was very afraid to tell you,
because you guys seem to be in an assumed monogamous relationship, but clearly haven't defined where your boundaries are for the other person. Because right now you're even going back and forth. You're like, is that something to break up with him over, or can we work it out? If it were me, I would stay. If Clay did that, I would be like, you know what? It happens. Like literally when I was in Colombia, my taxi driver tried to kiss me and I was like, no, no, no. And he was like, how about on the cheek? And I was like, all right, fine, you can kiss me on the cheek. And then he tried to turn my face to him and I was like, no, 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 sir. And he was like, okay, I'll come pick you up after dinner. And I was like, I'm okay, thank you though. And then he messaged me and I was like, first of all, you're like 24. I'm 29. But thank you for the flattering experience, I guess. And I told Clay, it's not that I was being malicious. And Clay's a CrossFit coach. He's around hot chicks all the time. He has to give them cues. And as I said, him and I just maybe we're more open-minded with letting the other person be themselves and just exist and navigate through life. Like we're all going through life as first-time humans and people make mistakes. And I think you just have to know the character of the person and know their intentions. In my situation, I know that Clay and I are committed to each other, and that means we're committed through thick and thin. And I think there's so many couples that end up breaking up who claim that they were committed to each other, but they were actually committed to monogamy. Because if you were committed to the person, you would stay with them through whatever happens. And I know that there's like some religious layers to this, but if you get a divorce because the other person, quotes, cheated, A, they need to be aware that they are cheating, because I actually made a post, I will link it, on Lemonade that said, is this cheating to you? And I came up with like, I don't know, 50 examples of scenarios of what could be cheating and asked people in the comments to weigh in. And the array of answers was wild. Like someone commented, all of these seem so possessive to me. I can't imagine any of them being cheating. Let people be themselves. You don't own them. And then the next person commenting, oh my God, if my partner did any of these, I'd be kicking them to the curb. But that just shows like everyone has such a different viewpoint on what could be cheating or not be cheating if you haven't talked about them. So Clay and I even went through all of them. I was like, how do you feel about this? How do you feel about that? Okay, this one could be okay in this situation, but maybe not here. And I think couples don't take the time to really have those conversations because they're hard and, you know, things could come up and you might have not like a fight, but stuff can happen. And people generally like to avoid that confrontation. But if you don't have that proactively, and you only rely on having these conversations reactively, that's when, you know, giving people the cold shoulder, kicking them to the curb, blah, blah, all that stuff happens. And it's like, sometimes people don't even know what they're getting kicked to the curb for, what they're in a fight for, because they thought one thing was okay and the other person thought it wasn't, and they weren't on the same page. Like, I can even give you an example. Say, like, buying a girl's drink at the bar. Some people might be like, absolutely not. That's sending the wrong message. Someone else might be like, oh, it's fine. Like, there's literally endless scenarios where one person might hate that and the other person might not. And then once you know where your partner's boundaries lie, then you have, you know, a field to play in. Otherwise, it can just feel like if you're in a relationship that it might be suffocating, like, oh, I can't do this, this, or this. Even say taking solo trips. I travel alone all the time and I love that. And that is so important to me. And if I was with someone that was a deal breaker for them, no shot I could be with them. I need to be able to feel free and do the things that I like to do. No one owns me. In my opinion, a relationship should make your life better. It's like a fun person to go through life with. No one can own each other. And I also think that we end up attaching too much of our own confidence and our own identity based off of the other person. So maybe also look into like codependent signs, because I kind of think codependency is more common than people make it out to be, because it can just seem like, oh my God, we're best friends. But if you are attaching like your worth too much to the other relationship or to the relationship or to the other person, then when something goes south or you're in an argument or you break up, you feel like your entire world is crumbling because you're like, I based so much of my life on this. And no matter what, even if you are strong and independent and you're going through a breakup, it's still going to be sad and lonely and challenging. But the more you can prioritize your relationship with yourself and know that no matter what, you have you, I think that's going to make any breakup, any quote violation of boundaries, any shifting dynamics, it's going to make it easier knowing that first and foremost, you are in charge of your own happiness and everything else kind of comes after that. So to answer specifically for your question and your situation, I personally would stay with them. I would just go through, even like look up articles online, go on ChatGPT, ask some of those questions, like I was saying, because right now you guys have been together for 5 years. Before you take your relationship to the next step of moving across the country, getting engaged, yada, yada, make sure that you're like fully on the same page about all of these things. So that way you can avoid any more situations in the future. Because at the end of the day, people just want to not feel lied to, I think. Straight right away when I got home from Colombia, I told Clay like the taxi driver story and some other things. And I'm like, I'm not here to hide anything from you. I want to laugh with it about you. Like it's not, you're my person, not this random taxi driver. And like when you zoom out, I don't know, like he's working more so you guys can do these trips. He's willing to consider moving across the country. You and this other girl are not even in the same playing field at all. But someone else might say like, no, if cheating is your biggest no and you don't trust him, then maybe cut it off. But I think you just have to look at his character and other things that have happened in your guys' time together. And if you feel like he's constantly been violating your trust, constantly not communicating, et cetera, then that's like a repeating pattern. But if this was a one-off time, yeah, maybe try to stick it out. Okay, going to question number 3. Any advice for getting through heartbreak? Me and my partner of a few years are breaking up because we want separate things. Okay, I'm not sure if you've heard of the concept of conscious uncoupling, but I'm so excited to talk about it because when I first saw this term on social media, it was actually posted by one of my Instagram TikTok friends. Her name is Natalie. She was going through a conscious uncoupling. And I was like, what is that? Like, I kind of understand from the name, but like, is this a thing? This is so interesting. And so I looked it up and it was a term coined by author and relationship coach, Catherine Woodward Thomas. She refers to conscious uncoupling as the process of ending a romantic relationship in a way that is respectful, compassionate, and mindful to both parties. And the goal is that it's not a bad breakup full of resentment and hatred, but instead it focuses on kindness, compassion for both parties, focus on self-growth, self-care, so that you can both get through this time or transition, uncoupling with love for yourself and the other person and respect for everything that you guys had together. And of course, every breakup is different, so there's not going to be like a one-size-fits-all conscious uncoupling that works for everyone. But I think even having that sort of approach to it in this way that you can slowly wean off your relationship is pretty cool. You obviously enjoy the other person and there's just some things in your guys' future that aren't aligned, but that doesn't mean that either of you are bad people or that you could never be in each other's lives again. So I personally would suggest that. The guy I dated before Clay, we kind of had an unintentional soft breakup because we worked at the same place. So we broke up in like February and we still worked together until September, but he moved out. So that was like a step of separation. And then we would just work and we kind of stopped hanging out outside of work as much. And then like as September came, it was pretty much just like only seeing each other at work. And then after that, it was like maybe a text here and there to check in. But that like made it so much easier for both of us, I think. And now to this day, like if I had to call him for something, like no doubt we would definitely be there for each other. Like we still have a good relationship with each other's families. And I don't know, I just prefer it that way. Like I don't want to burn a bridge. If someone was important to me for years, just because our futures aren't aligned, to me, that doesn't mean that we have to like cut each other off forever. So if you try a soft breakup, let me know how it goes. And then the last question, I could really use some best friend advice as I'm currently experiencing some trouble in one of my closest friendships. I'm sorry if this one's a bit longer, but a lot of crazy stuff has happened recently. I'll call her Claire for the sake of the story. I've known Claire since middle school. We immediately became best friends and had been through a lot together. I met my then boyfriend and now husband in high school when I was still really close with Claire, but weird things started to happen. Claire started inviting my boyfriend to events and gatherings and not me. When I confronted her about it, she said she thought it was obvious that I was invited too. I gave her the benefit of the doubt, but later it started happening more and more often that she wanted one-on-one time with my boyfriend and not me. I told my boyfriend how uncomfortable it was starting to make me, and he agreed to stop hanging out with her. Fast forward to my wedding, I had truly stopped interacting with her a lot because she had moved to a different state. I still invited her to my wedding because I didn't want her to feel left out. Only then did my two other best friends tell me that Claire was packing a white dress and a flower crown with a veil and was expecting to wear it to my wedding. To say I was furious would be an understatement. I swore that if she showed up in that dress, she was going to get a glass of wine poured on her. Luckily for her sake, my two other best friends talked her out of it. I wish that was the end of it, but somehow there was more. When the wedding started, Claire was constantly saying how she needed to talk to my husband and kept trying to get one-on-one time talk to him. At one point, she even tried to come up behind him and hug him. She even went as far as calling my husband her comfort person. Fortunately, my two best friends might as well have been my bodyguards that day because the day in my mind had been perfect up until the wedding when my friends had told me what had happened. After this, I completely cut Claire out of my life, but she still tried to contact me. So my question is, should I just keep ghosting her until she takes the hint, or should I be upfront with her and call her out? Sorry about how long this was. Thank you for reading it, and I hope you can help me out. I've never had this big of a falling out with a friend before, but I feel so disrespected and betrayed by her. I can't think logically. Thank you again. None of this is a red flag to me, except the major part about the white dress and the flower crown. I would love to know if that was for real, because if you guys had all met in high school and you were all friends, and he is like a comfort person. Like, I'll even say I have some other guy friends who I feel like are some of my comfort people. And that doesn't take away from Clay also being my comfort person. I think if you think of it in just friendships, like you have one friend that you go to maybe when you need advice, and then you have another friend that you go to when you need to laugh, and then you have another friend that you go to when you want to go have a fun night out. They're all your comfort people, but we need different types of comfort sometimes. And her going and giving him a hug at the wedding, I also don't necessarily think is inappropriate. I hug all my guy friends. And like, I want Clay to be able to hug his girlfriends. And I'm really glad that your two friends were able to kind of be that barrier so that way the stress wasn't on you on your wedding day. I think it's good that you invited her. That sounds like the respectful thing to do in this situation. Honestly, I would just one-on-one talk it out with her. Like, even if she has a crush on your husband, which she probably does, like, we all have big hearts. I don't think that negates how much your husband loves you or how much you love your husband because she has a crush on him. And I don't know, I'm just like the ethical slut. Please read it, guys. It's making me like rethink everything. Because if you just are attracted to someone, you can't just turn that off. Like, you can control yourself and like set those boundaries. But if you do have a crush on someone, I don't know, that's just how it goes sometimes. And I'm not saying people should hook up with each other always or always explore it, especially if the other parties don't want that. But if it's a quote harmless crush and she's just going up and giving your husband a hug at the wedding, so I don't know. Your husband is committed to you. He chose you. It's your wedding. He clearly isn't with Claire. So even if they hug or she feels like he's her comfort person, you're clearly the priority in his life. And I would just have a sit down talk with both of them and get to maybe the bottom of what that is. There was one girl who I knew had a crush on Clay because, duh, he's adorable. And in my mind, I'm like, why doesn't everyone have a crush on him? If I think he's the hottest person ever, I would assume that everyone thinks he's the hottest person ever too. Not everyone just has blinders on because suddenly he's taken by me. And this one girl I know that likes him, when I told her that we were on a break, and we're good friends, we're very good friends, she was like, oh, me and my partner are, you know, kind of having like a tough time right now. Maybe we should like switch for a little bit. Like, I'll be with Clay, you can be with my partner. And I was like, she was fully serious. And I'm not mad at her at all. Like, I don't even think that was that crazy of a suggestion. Like, we're still friends. I still talk to her all the time. Maybe I'm a little more open-minded than most, but like, she wasn't saying that to betray me. I think she was just genuinely curious what that could be like, because I will admit, like, her and Clay do have a lot in common, and me and her partner have a lot in common. So, you know, what is life? It's just a journey, things to explore. You can try stuff. If you don't like it, you don't have to do it again. But if you don't have the conversation, you're always going to wonder. So her intentions might be that she does love your husband and maybe she wanted to steal him off the altar. And in which case, then you would know that and you can figure out how to move forward. Or if she just missed him and hadn't seen him forever, then that's what that was. I do want to say, like, I don't think that there's anything wrong with a committed, fully monogamous relationship where both parties have identified their boundaries. They they communicate, yada, yada, yada. I think that is wonderful and that's beautiful. And there are so many benefits to that. I am just proposing that maybe sometimes things can be this and that. And even with the same partner, you might have phases where one thing works and then another thing works based off of maybe you guys are distance for a while. Maybe your work schedules are totally unaligned. Maybe kids come into the mix. Like whatever it is, we all are changing. Our lives are changing. There's going to be seasons that require different needs. Like I have another couple friend. When she had a baby, she did not want to be sexually romantic with her partner at all. And although I haven't had a baby, I can fully understand how if you're torn up down there, that might not be that enjoyable. But sexual needs are real. And so I was sitting down with them and talking to her husband, and he was trying to be open and saying that he like really wanted to have sex and she just didn't want to. And I was like, well, clearly it's driving a wedge between you guys. And if you're not going to give it to him, how could he get that from somewhere else? Like, is there a situation that you would be okay with? And she was like, actually, maybe. Like if it was in a different state, never the same person twice, wore a condom, I don't want to know the details. And I'm like, okay, that is a very real possibility that could happen. And if that would make your guys' dynamic better right now, because you don't want to give him that, but he wants it and like needs his cup filled, could that happen? And I'm not going to give any insight onto what did or did not happen, but even just being willing to have the conversation. I do also have some other friends who they do OnlyFans, they have partners. So yeah, I basically just never talked about any of this stuff because I know that I have parents and relatives and clients and professionals in my life that listen to this, but I also am just like really open with everything in my life and I don't feel like I have anything to hide. The people that I care about, they know all of these things about me and I know all these things about them. So while I do always want to uphold privacy and boundaries with the people I care about, if we don't have these conversations to maybe help normalize some of this stuff or help people work on their insecurities or their jealousy or their dynamics or just share a perspective or a tip or a lesson that we've been through to help someone else, then, you know, like that's how we all learn, is through these shared experiences. So please, no judgment. I have so, so much to learn still. And I'm grateful for other people that have been vulnerable. I love, on the topic, I love the podcast called Authentic Sex. She now made it private, like through her website, but there's still a ton of free public episodes, lots of great books. Please read the one I keep suggesting. And the title is maybe not misleading, but it basically just says like a slut is like anyone who loves freely. And that can be like you walk into a coffee shop and you're just like, damn, that barista is cute. I'm just going to smile at him because he made my day. Anyway, now I'm rambling. Now I'm like trying to justify. I'm not going to justify my actions. I know my intentions, and in your guys' relationship, you guys can figure out your own intentions and how you want to communicate and all of that. But I hope you enjoyed this. And please send in more questions for next month. Go to the website, Arty Friends Podcast, What Would Your Bestie Do tab. Thank you guys for being here. I believe Kara will be back next week. And then I think we'll be back to regularly scheduled programming. Maybe I'll be in Tulum. We'll see. Fingers crossed. But thanks for hanging today. Have a great rest of your week. And we'll catch you next time. Okay, wait, really quick before you go, if you want a chance to be the Arty Friends Listener of the Week, we have something for you. Leave us a rate and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And for bonus entries, there's so many ways to support our show. Share about us on your Instagram story, engage with us over on TikTok, post on our Facebook group, join the Patreon page, or subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Make sure to send that rating and review to our Instagram page, Arty Friends Podcast, and we pick a new Listener of the Week every Wednesday. We'll send you a $10 Visa gift card if you win, just as a way of saying thank you, to buy you a coffee, buy you a sweet little treat, whatever you want. Thanks again, you guys. We appreciate you so, so much. And we'll catch you next week.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 2 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs. All in the Kroger app. Get 3 for $10 on select Kellogg's Giant Size Cereal with your card. Then get tender USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast for $4.99 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.